Good afternoon, everyone. Today is Wednesday, August 14th, and we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues for our weekly Lunch and Learn. This Shabbat, we will read Parshat Va'etchanan, the Shabbat after, after Tisha B'Av. And we are going to be trying to answer the question, very important question, of why we should study Torah. And I'd like to hear why you think we should study Torah. You're all here, so obviously think you should study Torah. The question is, why are you studying Torah? And we are going to look at the following verse. Hold on one second. Page 968. 968. Okay. So, yes, and these verses come right before the Aseret HaDibrot, right? These verses come right before the Ten Commandments, which appear in the fourth Aliyah of Parshat Ve'etchanan. And let's read the Pasuk. Vayikra Moshe El Kol, this is verse 1. Pasuk Aleph in Perakeh in chapter 5. Vayikra Moshe El Kol Yisrael Vayomer Alehem Shema Yisrael Et HaChukim Ve'et HaMishpatim Asher Anochi Dover Ba'oznechem Hayom. Moses called all of Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the decrees and the ordinances that I speak in your ears today. Ulimadetem otam, ushimartem laasotam. Learn them and be careful to perform them." And then a few more psukim of introduction, a few more verses of introduction, and then come the Aseret HaDibrot. So I want to focus on this phrase of ulimadetem otam, ushimartem laasotam. Translated here, learn them and be careful to perform them. What is the meaning of ulimadetem otam, ushmartem laasotam? What does that mean? Anyone want to take a stab at that before we see one of the commentaries?
Well, you asked the question of why should we study Torah. So I was thinking, well, if we don't study Torah, we won't know what Hashem wants of us.
Okay, great. So in context of these verses, you're suggesting that it means ulimadetem otam, learn them so that you can be careful to perform them.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not two separate things. It's not learn them and be careful to perform them. The learning is in the service of the doing, right? You don't know how to light Hanukkah candles if you don't learn. Right? How are you supposed to know what to do, like you said, if you don't learn Torah? Okay, good. Any other suggestions as to what this phrase means? Doreen stole everyone's thunder.
I think that for some, they may simply study but not perform. But I think the two go hand in hand.
Okay.
The studying should not be a theoretical process, but of course, it's important to develop a deep understanding, but that's not enough. One must also perform what is commanded.
Okay, good, good.
Maybe
yes.
It's saying that you really have
Hold on one second. So you're saying that, that's a second thing you're saying, Doreen, is that the learning sometimes serves as an inspiration to performing.
Yes.
So it's two things. One is learn so that you know how to perform. That's a very practical thing. Practical explanation. And the second suggestion that you made is learning, the more you learn, the more you may be inspired to perform the mitzvah. Okay, two separate things. Very nice. Okay, yes.
Well, I just think maybe it was saying you have to really be careful and do it the way it's supposed to be done. If you do it another way, maybe it doesn't really count.
Okay, that's right. That's good. Right. If you do mitzvot,
I'm supposed to like even though they may, you did it the wrong way.
Right. It may in some way resemble the mitzvah, but it's not the mitzvah itself. It may not count. So good. Okay. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay.
So,
you're right. It is a command. Right, but I think the suggestion is right. Learn them, and the learning will inspire you to do what you're commanded to do. Right. Okay, yes? Zach?
I would like to bring a revolutionary statement to this pasuk. When you go.
A what statement?
Revolutionary.
Revolutionary?
What is revolutionary?
How many revolutions have you lived through? You've lived through some. Yeah. So you're a person who knows of what he speaks.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And, I would like to submit that if we go through understanding Middle East history, the Torah is not exactly unique from the point of view when you looked at it as legal code. If we go back a few centuries before it's happened, we have a Hammurabi.
Right.
Also Western Semite like us, who was responsible for delivering first complete legal codes for all Babylonian people. However, only limited numbers of people in his state, Hammurabi state, state really knew it. What is revolutionary over here?
Mm.
It was commanded for
everybody to study.
For
right.
All
very good.
Israelites.
Right.
To know it.
Right. It's not only the clerics. It's everyone has to be literate
exactly.
In the law. Excellent.
This is what I'm saying.
Excellent. That is revolutionary.
Revolution. Because
right.
It's never happened. You see that? Just share 1 minute. First legal code we consider Ur-Nammu, which we know it existed something before, but what we know is from a third Sumerian dynasty. It existed from 21st century BC. Then the biggest and Middle East knows numbers of those legal codes, and only Torah elevated it that all people supposed to know.
Very nice.
It's never happened before.
Okay.
This is what I consider. Legal courts, it's not new.
Right.
But legal courts for everyone.
Beautiful.
This is this why I...
Thank you. That's great. Thank you so much for that. Okay. So with that, let's see Rashi. Okay. Let's see Rashi's interpretation of this. Rashi actually doesn't deal with it. Oh, you okay, Marilyn? Rashi doesn't deal with it here directly. He deals with it in a different parsha, but it will be helpful to see his comments there. So I want to turn to Parshat Bechukotai, which starts on page 708. So you can keep your page marker on this week's Parsha, and then go to 708 as well. This is the beginning of Parshat Bechukotai, and we have the following comment by Rashi. If you'd like to follow along, Rashi is right below the line there, and it's the first comment of Rashi. So it is very, it's in the small print, top line in the right column, right below the line on the right side of the page. It's in Hebrew. I will translate it into English. Im bichukotai telechu. If you follow my decrees, yachol ze kiyum hamitzvot, you may think that this verse refers to, that this phrase, if you follow my decrees, refers to performing the mitzvot. Kishahu omer v'et mitzvotai tishmaru harei kiyum hamitzvot amor. The next phrase, which says, my commandments perform, that's a phrase that's referring to performing the mitzvot. So what does b'chukotai telechu mean? Right? It can't mean performing the mitzvot, because the phrase right after that means performing the mitzvot. Hama ani mikayem im b'chukotai telechu. What do I fulfill with this phrase of b'chukotai telechu if you follow my decrees? Shetiyu amelim batorah. That one should be amelim batorah here means you should busy yourself with Torah. Meaning you should study Torah. You should engage the text. You can engage the Torah. Amel exactly means work. Vet mitzvotai tishmeru and fulfill the mitzvot. Hevu amelim b'Torah. Listen carefully, Doreen, because I think you're onto something. Hevu amelim b'Torah. Be busy or work with the Torah. Al minat lishmor ulikayim, so that you can fulfill and keep the mitzvot. Kemoshe ne'emar, as it says, and now what pasuk do you think he quotes to prove his point? The pasuk that we just started with in the beginning of Devarim, chapter 5, verse 1. Ulimadetem otam, ushmartem la'asotam. Just like it says in our verse. So Rashi, in short, is saying that ulimadetem otam ushmartem lasotam in our verse is that the reason we study Torah is so that we can fulfill the Torah. Okay, so Rashi does not directly comment on our verse. But in another verse, back in Vayikra, in Leviticus, he makes a point and then says, that's also what our verse means. Okay? So that's what Rashi means. So from Rashi's perspective, exactly what Doreen said, the study of Torah is a very practical matter. We study Torah so that we can know what to do, which makes perfect sense. If you think about it, like we said, you won't know what to do if you don't study Torah, and we have a midrash that seems to back this up, a midrash which is connected to our verse. Kvar hayu Rabbi Tarfon v'Rabbi Akiva Rabbi Yosi haGalili misubim bebeit aris bilud nishalash she'ela zo lifneihem. So Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yosi haGalili were all in Lod, which is if you've been to Israel, you've been there because that's where the airport is. Right? So maybe Rabbi Tarfon was having this conversation right in the middle of what was going to become a runway or a control tower one day. Who knows exactly where? Right? And the question was asked, Mi gadol, Talmud o Mase? What's greater, study or performing the mitzvot? What's greater? What's a greater act of religious commitment, studying the Torah or doing the mitzvot? Rabbi Tarfon, Amar Rabbi Tarfon, Gadol Maaseh. Rabbi Tarfon says, doing the mitzvot, that's a greater act of religious commitment. Rabbi Akiva Omer, I think I heard a knock, I'm sorry. Rabbi Akiva says, Gadol Talmud. Rabbi Akiva says, no, studying Torah is greater. Gadol Talmud. Anu kulam ve'amru. The rest of them, right? They said no. Gadol Talmud sha Talmud mevi lidei maaseh. So we have a three-way machloket. One is according to Rabbi Tarfon, mitzvot are greater. Rabbi Akiva says study is greater. Kulam anu ve'amru. Everyone else said no. Study is great because it leads to masa, because it leads to action. So this all was in the realm of Doreen, Rashi, Midrash, all saying something similar, that the reason we study Torah is so that we know what to do. And the Rambam, in his laws of studying Torah, says, Ein lecha mitzvah b'chol ha-mitzvot kulan shish shkula keneged Talmud Torah. There is no mitzvah within all the mitzvot that is equal to the study of Torah. Ela Talmud Torah keneged kol ha-mitzvot. The study of Torah is equal or greater than all the other mitzvot. Sha Talmud mevi lidei maaseh. Because studying brings to action. L'fichach ha-Talmud kodem lemaaseh b'chol makom. Therefore, we prioritize learning, but not prioritize learning for conceptual reasons. We prioritize learning because, in the Rambam's language, mevi shatalmud mevi lidei maaseh. Studying brings to action. That's one way of looking at it, and that's very that's perfect. That's great, right? That if someone says the reason I study is so I know what to do. You can't fault that, right? That is a wonderful way to construct someone's life, okay? It's not the only way to understand Torah learning. I'd like to share an opinion of the Ralbag, who we've studied here before. He says that we can't understand the importance of Torah, of study, only in relation to how it brings us to action. And here's here's his reasoning. He says, Lehodia shekol adam mechuyav l'lmod Torah, when he's talking about this pasuk, he says, v'af al pi sheyachol, hatorah tashishi hu b'mitzvot, v'hu lehodia. One of the things we learn from this regarding mitzvah observance is to tell us, shekol adam mechuyav l'lmod Torah. Everyone's obligated to study Torah. The af al pi sheyuchal lasot mitzvoteha bizulat limidat haTorah. The Ralbag posits that you can figure out a way to do the mitzvot without learning Torah. So before we go on, we have to figure out how's that possible, right? It's not osmosis. You don't wake up in the morning knowing how to light Shabbos candles, right? You don't wake up in the morning knowing how to build a sukkah or how to keep a kosher kitchen. Right, so how is it possible? La'asot mitzvoteha bizulat limidat haTorah, to fulfill the mitzvot without learning Torah. How's that possible? Give one. Ah, right. Well, I'm not talking about ethical mitzvot. You're right. I'm talking about there's no internal right way to build a sukkah. Like, I'm building the sukkah in the most ethically way possible. I'm going to recycle my materials, of course, right? But instead of how many walls does it need and how much schach does it need, that's not coming from your kishkas. That's got to come from some knowledge. But you're right. We mimic.
We're taught.
From our parents.
Or we watch. Right. Or we ask. Yeah. Right. How do women here learn how to light Shabbos candles? Did you open up a book or did you watch your mother? I'm asking.
Yeah,
you watched your mother, right? I didn't learn how to build a sukkah from reading a book. I learned how to build a sukkah because my father and I would build a sukkah every year. And I imagine he built a sukkah when he was a kid. And we didn't. I didn't open a book to learn how to build a sukkah until later when I became a rabbi and people were asking me all sorts of complicated questions. But in the old days, a sukkah was four walls and some leaves on top, and that was it. And that's how you learn how to do. That's how you do it, right? So it's possible. So now we have a problem. Why do I have to learn Torah? I don't have to learn Torah. How do I build a sukkah? I'll ask the rabbi. How do I light Shabbos candles? I'll ask my mother.
You go on YouTube.
Right? I go on YouTube. Right? So this is exactly what the Ralbag says. The Ralbag says, right, that may be learning though. But then I have a little bit of a problem with what the Ralbag says. Let me read the next sentence. So he says, "Yuchal la'asot mitzvoteha bizulat lemidat haTorah." And by the way, this is very important. This notion of mimicking as a way to learn how to be Jewish is exceedingly important. Right? It is very, for most people, that is the way people know how to be Jewish. Okay? So, "V'yafal pi sheyuchal la'asot mitzvoteha bizulat lemidat haTorah." Even though the Ralbag says that you could know how to be Jewish and do the mitzvot without learning Torah, B'sheyish'al ze liyodei ha-Torah. All you have to do is ask someone who does know Torah. Or, as Leora said, watch someone who knows Torah. And by the way, this appears in the Talmud also. Occasionally, there are a few times in the Talmud where we have something called Maaseh Rav, where there's no explicit text for how to do something or why we do something, but a rabbi did it. And if he did it, that must be the way to do it. Right? It's actually a legally binding category.
Tradition.
But it's not for Higadata, you're just watching it. You just, right, you're right, it's similar. But I'm saying with no text, this is the way it developed. Minhag, there's a lot of this. So the problem, though, is that I have with the Ralbag is that not Torah study? Right, if I put on a YouTube video of how to build a sukkah, that's Torah study. Obviously, the Ralbag couldn't imagine such a thing. But that's Torah study. It's an electronic book. It's just instead of learning with words, I'm learning with pictures. And instead of the pictures being stationary, they're moving.
Even years ago, they had right? picture books.
Right, picture books. So, but I think to be fair to the Ralbag, we have to separate between classic Torah study and asking someone. I think watching a video is somewhere in the middle. I think that is Torah study, but it's somewhere between those two. It's not classic opening a book. Okay, so says the Ralbag. Now we have to answer our question. You don't need to study Torah to know how to build a sukkah. So then why do I have to study Torah? Right? We've come to a little bump in the road between of Rashi, the Midrash, and Doreen. Right? We have a problem. So why do I have to study Torah? I could ask someone. I'll ask someone, why do I build a sukkah? They'll say, because God had a cloud. That's not the classic. I could ask someone too.
Reliable source.
Ah, okay. So that's interesting, right? It's like telephone,
yeah.
Right? As things get passed down, right? The message becomes a little muddied. The problem, though, with Leora is that Judaism is one big, gigantic game of telephone, right? We no longer have God's voice telling us at Sinai what to do. Everything is the most important work that we have in Judaism is the oral law. And it's oral, it's called the oral law because it was oral. It was exactly telephone. Now, we've since written it down for other emergency reasons. But to say that the idea of passing it down from generation to generation it's certainly imperfect, but it's all we have. Because even our texts were at first oral, and then only they were written down. That's why there are different versions of the Rambam, and different versions of the Talmud, and different versions of all the books, because at first they were all written down, and a scribe got a word here wrong, a letter there wrong, left something out, added something in, something which was a marginal comment somehow got added back into the full text. So it's truly oral. We want to go back to the original. That's true, because sometimes when you ask something, it gets... That's true, but it's just interesting to point out that that's what Judaism is. It's one enormous exercise in whether or not we could transmit something from one generation to the next properly. Okay, so if we want to study Torah, we want to study it in the original. Okay, excellent. Although there are lots of wonderful and important and helpful non-Hebrew resources that open up the world of Torah to people who can't, you know, read Hebrew. Okay, good.
Would you say that because the Torah is not simply a list of instructions, it's more than that. So I'm thinking that perhaps there's another reason why we study it. First of all, because it was Hashem's gift to us. And so we study it because it was given to us.
Okay.
But also...
Great. That's very nice. That's very profound. Meaning when someone who... God, or someone very important in your life, gives you something, even if it may have no practical benefit to you, because everything in the book I know already, everything that, or I could ask someone, you still may find it meaningful to flip through the pages because it was a gift from someone who's very important to you, right? So that's actually very, just because of the giver. Okay, nice. Okay, we'll take one more suggestion, then we'll see the Ralbag and one other point. Yes?
I just want to say that when you go through the formation of Judaism, you started as a temple of Judaism. Then when we landed in Babel and faced Zoroastrianism, which was very complicated religious philosophy, we had to define what really we believe in. Then we had introduction of Greek culture, and we had to learn how to live with this one without losing our Jewish identity. After Hellenic Judaism, what we turned to, after the temple was completely destroyed, we already were ready to start rabbinical Judaism. What it actually showed us, we're talking about civilization. And this is why we survived as civilization, because it's not just generation after generation, it's very important, because it was spread among all people. It gave us unity, and this is why
okay.
The Pasuk
right.
was extremely important.
So connected to your earlier idea.
Kohenic or temple, Kohenic sect, if you wish, or group. Or temple Judaism shows that